Okay, so that's a little bit of introduction, maybe for myself, because some people don't know me. My name is Bhante Bodhidharja. Bhante kind of is like venerable, and Bodhidharja is my monastic name. But since we're in Australia, very often they just call me Bodhi, and it's easy and short. I live at Kusala Hermitage, which is just at the edge of Rolling Stone. We are right next to the Cambodian temple. And we've been there now for 3 years. So you have a monastery here. And you can also come there around lunchtime and just hang out with monks and have something to eat or ask any questions. And we come here once a week to give a few teachings and to do meditation with you and to answer your questions if there are any questions. So I have just recently returned from Malaysia. Together with my monastic friend, Bhante Chunda, we were teaching there. And usually what happens, you know, when you travel or just in your day-to-day life, some certain things come up and then they kind of very often come up in the talks as well, because it's just what has been on your mind. And we have noticed that, you know, over in Malaysia, I mean, I can't talk for the whole scene, but we've seen some places where the teaching can actually be quite intellectual, and people come and listen to a lot of talks, which is great. I mean, it's a great way to spend your evening. You could be doing a lot of other things that are not so helpful. But we also want to make sure that not just knowledge is imparted in those teachings, that they, you know, we listen, we use our brains. Sometimes in Asia, very often there is a lot of reverence towards the monastics, which is great, which is a very good kind of starting point. But we also want to question what we are told and, you know, reflect on it. And then also make sure, as I like to say, that it moves from up here to down here. That it moves from an understanding and down into the heart. And then it actually becomes action, it becomes behavior, it actually influences our lives. And that's what the whole teachings really should be about. As I said, you can come here, listen to a talk and go like, okay, that was interesting or that was boring or whatever, and you go away. But if it doesn't really have an impact on your life, then I don't know, then probably it's not so helpful. So we want to make sure that these teachings or these practices really become a blessing and have some benefits for you. And so I thought maybe today I could focus a little bit on those two words, blessing and benefit. And I was reminded of a story of the teacher, of our teacher, Ajahn Chah. Some people might be familiar with him, a forest meditation master who lived over in Thailand. And he had a lot of stories or a lot of kind of one-liners sometimes or a lot of similes that were really, really beautiful. So with the monastics, you might be familiar with other traditions that they go and bless places. Or you come to the monastery to receive a blessing. And that is actually the same in Thailand or in our tradition, in the Buddhist tradition. And what we have, what other traditions have as well, is we have holy water that we sometimes sprinkle around. One nice thing, though, is when you have been actually to some of those ceremonies that we do. My teacher, Ajahn Brahm, he's so playful and he's so joyful with, you know, splashing around the holy water. But Ajahn Chah used the water of the blessing as a simile for what it actually stands for. But first of all, what is a blessing really? So there is different ways of looking at this. Of course, maybe how we were taught, especially from some religions that we might be close to, it's kind of like something that is bestowed on us, or that we are in the favorable books of some kind of higher being or something like that. In Buddhism, we don't quite have that. So the blessing would more be what I also found, what the meaning of blessing can be in English. So you can also go and get the blessing of someone, which means you get the approval of that person. you get the encouragement of that person. And I think that is actually much, much closer to what a blessing is in Buddhism. So we try to encourage people, and we try to, what was the other word that I looked up? Sorry. To approve of what is wholesome and what is good. And that is what the four qualities that I wanted to share with you and that Ajahn Chah shared about water. So he said, when we have holy water and we sprinkle that holy water, it has four qualities. The first quality is that water cools you down. So when there is a hot day, that's what you use. So what could be this cooling quality of the water? What could be the cooling quality of the Dhamma, as we call it, the teachings, the way of practice? So in Buddhism, what we cool down are the things that make our hearts hot, that make our, you know, emotions go all over the place. And one of them, of course, is if we have a lot of attachment, if we have a lot of wanting, if we have a lot of lust. These are usually things that create heat. So with the teachings and with the path, when we practice, one of the blessings and one of the benefits, if you look at it in this way, is that these things actually calm down over time, that these things cool down over time. So you can actually check yourself. If you've been hearing the teaching, if you have been practicing the teachings, is this actually happening for me in my life? And if it is, great, then it's working. If it's not happening, then you might ask yourself, why is it not happening? The other kind of thing that also can kind of really fire us up and create a lot of heat in our heart and in our minds is when we have a lot of resistance, when we have a lot of hatred, when we have a lot of ill will maybe as well. So these things can really kind of heat us up internally. And these are also the things that we're trying to reduce by understanding them, by avoiding the things that trigger these things to arise in the first place. And then the third one is kind of a confusion, an anxiety of not being sure about ourselves, not being sure about, you know, the teaching or the teacher. That is maybe less of a heat, I don't know. Maybe it's a bit more difficult to recognize that. But also that one could and should be kind of cooled down in the process. So that is the first quality of the water that we have as a blessing. The second quality of the water is purification. And one of those beautiful ways of thinking about this, I think Ajahn Chah actually coined it in this way as well, is when you want to wash something which is dirty, you actually use the water. Of course, you might also want to take a bit of soap or want to take a bit of detergent or whatever. But the water, in all these four kind of ways of looking at it, is the agent which helps you to purify. And in Buddhism, we purify our hearts, we purify our speech, we purify our actions, and we purify our thoughts. So that is also something which should happen over time. Again, there is some teachings to understand. So last time I was here, I went into a bit more detail what that might mean. So through that, we purify things. We make things that are not so nice, maybe a little bit blotched or whatever. We make them nice and shiny and clean and clear. So that's the second quality. And then the third quality that water can be used for, or that water brings forth, is the growth. So also, again, with plants, when we want to grow something, we use the water. Again, the water itself is not enough. We need some nutriment that actually goes with the water, and we have to have some soil and sunlight and whatever. But again, the water is kind of like an agent which helps the process along. And in Buddhism, we want to make sure that we grow in wholesome states, that we become better people, that it's easier to live with ourselves, that it is easier to live with other people around us as well. So that there is actually growth and progress that there is some blessings that grow within our own lives. And then the last quality is a nice quality that we probably learned about in biology, and it's the quality of cohesion. So when you have water, maybe say after it has rained, it will usually come together and build a little droplet. Or it will, you know, even if you fill up a glass, it doesn't spill over straight away. It actually builds like those bridges, and it makes like a little bubble because of this cohesive power. And that is something which is actually very important. The other simile that you could use is if you take something like flour, it's just, you know, a dusty kind of substance. But when you put some water in it, then it binds everything together. It makes it smooth. It makes it come together. And that quality could also be described as like a social cohesion, or like peace, like harmony. And I think that is something which is very important in our own lives and in our own world, where we often see so much, you know, suffering and problems arise. If there were more cohesions, if there were more of practicing these beautiful teachings on the path to peace, then there would be more peace in the world altogether. And this is actually something which happens in meditation as well. Probably the people who've been here before know of that aspect from meditation. So in meditation, we actually also have this gathering of energy. And by focusing our minds, by resting our minds on one object, hopefully for long enough that it can settle, that it can be calm, and that it can become more peaceful. So that's the qualities of the water, and that is something that also, you know, my fellow monastics often use when they come and bless a place, where they say, when I come and bless, there is, of course, some inspiration that comes from my side. There is some, you know, practice that we have done as monastics that kind of transmits in a certain way. But the real blessing is actually what the people do in their lives, and what we can approve of, and what we can encourage them in doing to walk on this path and go deeper and deeper and become more and more happy in the process. So that's a few words that I have to share about blessings and about progress or about benefit. So when these things do arise, but that's something that happens over a longer period of time, where you sometimes actually have to stop and think and reflect. Because one of the things that people often kind of say is like, you know, I've been practicing, or I've been hearing these teachings for a while. Have I actually made progress? And if we, you know, take a little bit of time, sit back and reflect on those things. Have things grown? Have I become more peaceful? Is it easier to live with myself? Is it easier to live with other people? Have I purified my mind? Have I purified my actions? Have I purified my speech? And have things actually cooled down? And I think that is one of the things that most people can notice. So we have like certain reactions that arise very easily, where we get angry or where we get attracted to certain things. But then you suddenly realize that one time something arises that triggered you in the past. And now it doesn't trigger you in the same way anymore. Or it just doesn't have the same strength. And you're able to kind of navigate out of it without starting to even, you know, add more unwholesomeness to something which might be difficult. So it's good to sometimes reflect. And then once you've reflected and once you've seen that something has actually worked, to, you know, tap yourself on your shoulder, which is great, and to carry on doing what actually helps in this process. So you can even purify your hearts more. You can even, you know, make the peace become more solid and make it more deeper. So that's just a few words of encouragement. Hope they make sense. But I really like that here the core part of this evening is not what I tell you. The core part of this evening is that we actually sit together, practice together, and develop those beautiful things in our own hearts. So let's do that together. But if there is any questions at this stage, sometimes we do the meditation and people are just so peaceful that they don't want to ask anything. So I don't know if we're still, it's still a bit of activity going on in our minds. If, yes, there is any questions? Well, good. No? All right. Well, then let's get ourselves ready for meditation. One of the things maybe also to mention for people who are new especially, the way we teach meditation, it's very important that our bodies are as comfortable as possible. Because sometimes I noticed also when we were traveling that some people have this idea that you have to sit through pain. And you don't have to. If you can do something about it, it's great to make sure that you are comfortable. Because when you're sitting for a while, those discomforts in the body can actually become quite strong and can become destructive as well. So in order to have a peaceful mind, it's very good to do whatever we can to have a peaceful body as well. Of course, we can't always, you know, magically have things disappear, but we do whatever we can, and then the rest is like in our mental attitude. Sometimes you just can't quite, you know, relax a certain part of the body. Especially we have some people who come with like chronic ailments or even chronic pain, and you can't just switch that off. But you can develop kindness towards it. You can develop acceptance towards it. And you can learn in meditation that there is a space deep within which is basically separated from the pain and from your body. And the more you get to know that, and the more you get to understand how you can hang out there, you can kind of go deep within and go away from that pain. And when you come out of meditation, you will notice that these parts that were tense or were aching usually are very relaxed and are very kind of comfortable. And then you know that the meditation has actually worked. Okay. So, please feel free to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing so. If you wish to keep your eyes open a little bit, that's fine as well. To let in a little bit of light, sometimes when we are very tired, that can be helpful. But just in a way that it doesn't really distract. And that it doesn't pull you outwards. Outwards into the world. Outwards into the senses. Because the senses and the body, the sense of touch, is kind of like an alarm system for us, which alerts us what is going on outside, what kind of needs our attention. But in meditation, we make sure that we are in a safe environment, which is reasonably quiet. And we make sure that the body is comfortable. So all that attention that it would ask of us is not required anymore. Ajahn Brahm often says it's like parking your car. So you've probably, most of you came here in a car. So there is a nice parking lot out there. So you come with your car. You park your car, you make sure it's locked, But then you know it's safe and you walk away and you leave it where it is. Now, if you forget to lock it up, or you think you forgot to lock it up, I hope I'm not going to create some disturbance in your mind now, then you will be sitting here and thinking, oh, did I not? So it's kind of the same with the body. It's the same with things that have happened in our past or that might be happening in the future. When we are worrying about them, when we are still kind of connected to them, that brings disturbance into our minds. And what we are developing in meditation is peacefulness, is calm, is stillness. So we try to do everything we can to encourage that, to make it possible. So please feel free to also take a few deep breaths at the beginning of the meditation. I usually encourage people to breathe in through the nose. Through the nose. And then breathe out through the mouth. And let the out-breath be long. Breathing in through the nose. And breathing out through the mouth. And maybe one more time, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And then already feeling how that settles the body a little bit, calms the body a little bit. And then we can just check in with the body as a whole. And see if there are any areas in the body which are maybe still a bit uneasy, a bit tense, a bit restless, a bit itchy. And let's see if we can do anything on the physical level by moving, by scratching, by coughing to alleviate, to basically put this body at rest. And then we can scan through this body. Maybe today we can start at the feet and move upwards, which helps to create a little bit of wakefulness as well. So see if you can connect with your feet. And connecting doesn't mean thinking about it. Connecting means actually feeling what's going on. Can you feel how your feet are? Can you check in with your feet? And can you do anything to make them feel more relaxed? To make them feel at ease? That's the soles and the tops. That's all the toes, the heels, and the ankles. Make sure they're not squashed. Or kind of twisted in any way that is uncomfortable. Trying to just have them be just right. And as you grow more skilled, you will actually feel when you check in, when you are kind, that the areas you're looking at, you're being with, you're connecting with, are getting more relaxed, getting more at ease. And then there very often kind of comes a point where you can't do anything else. So you just wish them well. And you walk away. Moving upwards to the lower part of your legs. Feeling into your shins. Feeling into all the muscles. Feeling into the bone as best as you can. And allowing it to relax. Allowing it to be. If there's anything you can do physically, please feel free to do that quietly and gently. If you can do anything in terms of the attitude you have towards that part of your body, see if you can be accepting, if you can be kind. You might even feel the lower legs kind of getting heavier. And then again, yeah, also here, you can wish them well. You can allow them to just be. Nothing to worry about in that part of the body. So you can let go. you can trust will be okay. And you can walk away and allow your mind to settle on your knees, left and right. Get familiar with the feelings here. Connecting with the hardness on the outside and softness on the inside. And with acceptance, allowing everything to open up, to relax. Control always pushes and pulls. Acceptance just allows, gives space. Wishes well. And maybe you can feel, get some feedback from that part of your body. Relaxation, ease. Peacefulness. And then you can move into your thighs. And also here you can connect to the feelings in your muscles, in your skin. Maybe you can feel the clothes touching the skin. And just allow your awareness to rest there. To be with that part of the body. Allowing it to settle, allowing it to relax. Allowing it to be in whatever state you find it. By just being with it, looking at it with kindness and care. It will relax. Will become less of a problem. And once you have the feedback that it's actually settling, that it's actually relaxing, you can allow the process to run by itself. You can trust that you let go a little bit and it relaxed, so you can let go a bit more and allow it to relax even deeper. Settle even more. then you can let it go. Move your attention to your hips. See if your hips are comfortable. If not, you can move them around a bit. You can feel the support of the chair, of the cushion, of the ground. You can kind of hand it over to that support so that you don't have to hold on. Allowing that part of the body to be the muscles, the bones, wishing it well, giving it space. And then from there you can move your attention away and let it go into your spine. Moving through your spine. Slowly upwards. And allowing it to relax. Allowing it to settle. Allowing it to rest. Moving from your lower back into the middle part of the spine, and slowly into the upper part of the spine. Allowing all the muscles to relax there. Allowing any tension that might be present to dissipate. Allowing the spine to just naturally be in the state it feels most at ease. And then we come into the area of the chest where the ribs, the whole rib cage, connects up to the spine. Let's see if we can also relax that. Let all the muscles between the ribs be smooth. And just naturally move with the breath without tension. Without strain. Allow the breath coming in to open up your area around your chest. And let the breathing, when it goes out, drain away any tension. Drain away any discomfort or unease. And then from there we can move towards our shoulders. Move into the shoulder blades. Move into the shoulder joint. And allow this area to open up, to relax. To be at ease. And then we can move into our arms, left and right, feeling the skin, feeling the muscles, feeling the bone. And allow our upper arms to rest. To be as comfortable as possible, to be at ease. Then moving into our elbows. Opening up. Allowing them just to be as they are. Not putting on any pressure. Letting them relax. Moving into our lower arms. First, feeling them, connecting to them. Wishing them well. Accepting whatever is there and just caring. caring and trusting. That when we leave them alone for a while, they will be just fine. Moving into our wrists, from there into our hands, all the way to the fingertips. And feeling them settle, feeling them relax. Feeling them just hanging out and being at ease for a change. Because there's no demands, no expectations. Only care. And then we can let them rest and walk away. And connect with our neck. Connect with our throat. Connect with the spine, the part which is going through our neck, and allowing everything to rest, to relax. To be at ease. Feeling the skin, feeling the muscles, feeling the bones. Or aligned on top of each other. Allowing them to settle and rest. And then moving into our head, making sure that it is gently balanced on top of the neck, just in the right position. Allowing the scalp, the skin, on the back of our head and on the side of our heads to be at ease and relaxed. And then allowing our forehead to be smooth and relaxed. Our eyebrows. Our eyes. The eyelids and the eyes in the sockets. The nose and also the cheeks. Just hang loose. Without tension. Going down to our chin. Our mouth. And then also our jaw. Often there is tension here. No need. It's all right. We are not struggling or striving for anything. We're just being peaceful. Allowing everything to relax and to rest. And then we can check in with the whole body. And see if there is any difference from when we started this meditation. Is it more relaxed? Is it more at peace? Is it more still? And also the effect all this has on our mind, on our mental world. Can we feel the relaxation, the peace? The ease. And this is usually the point when things go well, where we can really walk away from the body and go deep within. But as we have already reached the end of our meditation time, I will be ringing the bell soon for you to gently, slowly find your way out of meditation and back into this room. I did a bit more guidance than usual, which is usually good when some people are new to this practice. Is there any questions or comments at this stage, or some experiences that people might want to share? It is quite normal that when we start meditating that there are quite a lot of thoughts and that there are quite a lot of worries, because that's just what our minds are used to do. So what meditation can do is to gently, slowly teach us to not give those things too much importance, and to slowly, slowly, gently kind of move away from them. And by doing a body scan, we encourage the mind to settle on different areas of the body and to develop, you know, a kind attitude towards them. But if we do have pains, that can be something which is very, very challenging. So then we do really encourage people to experiment a little bit with the way they sit, or, you know, even if they are listening to guided meditations at home, to maybe try and sit on something really comfortable. I have a cushion here myself. I usually feel my bones of my hips quite quickly on the plastic chair. So that helps a little bit to pat that, to relax that. And of course, another thing that happens quite often in the beginning is that we get fairly tired. And that is quite normal as well, because we really work our minds and our bodies much more than we should at times, and we don't give them enough rest. So when we come to meditation, very often they just kind of demand to get a bit of rest, to get a bit of sleep, to get a bit of just, you know, zoning out, which is completely okay. But then once they had what they needed, once you know, the sleep deprivation or the kind of like bodily strain that was there can be replaced with wakefulness. But that is actually a real skill that takes a bit of time to develop. And it doesn't always work. It really depends, you know, where your mind is at and what you've been doing before. But hopefully, when you stop and reflect at the end of the meditation, you will realize that it had some effect, that it had some benefit, and that when you carry on working in that direction, that you can even go further and even go deeper in this process. All right, a few words of encouragement. All good.